Well, good morning. Hope everybody's doing well today. We started a brand new series last week, and the theme of that series we're going to talk about over and over again is this idea that there is no cheap change. In other words, change doesn't come easy. We all know that. It's not pain-free, but we also all know the phrases. We've heard them before. You can't do the same things you've always done, right, and get the same or and expect to have different results than you've always gotten. So one of the great things for us as a church family about today is that we actually get to visibly see and experience some folks and their life change. Very encouraging to the rest of us, because their change, right, affects us, and it helps stir our hearts and it changes us. So we have some folks today that we know are gonna be baptized, probably 6-7 of them here in this service or lineup. So there are some folks who came today who knew they were gonna be baptized, and then there are some folks who came today who are gonna be baptized, and they had no idea whenever they showed up, right? So one of the things that we do is, yeah, we've got some folks who are already teed up and ready to take that step. And then we wanna give everybody the opportunity to take that step of going public with their baptism today. And you say, well, why would somebody do that? Well, let me give you two reasons why someone would do it. The first reason is that baptism is a public announcement of a personal decision, or a public one, whichever one you want. Let me read you from Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered, let it be so, for thus it is now fitting to fulfill all righteousness. And then he consented. So John the Baptist shows up on the scene and he starts talking about baptism. Now, what was unusual about this is that in their world, the only time they ever saw baptism was when a Gentile converted to Judaism. So a Gentile would come along and they would say, you know what? I want to be part of Abraham's covenant. I want to identify with the Hebrew people. And so they would have to go through this ritual baptism or cleansing. They would get into like a big tub of water. They would be put under the water, which is the word immerse. That's what the word baptism means in the New Testament, to plunge or to dunk under. So they would do this ritual baptism. And it was just kind of a symbolic thing. It was symbolic that they were washing off their old Gentile kind of life and they were stepping into this new covenant of God. The only thing you take a bath, right, is when you're not clean, right? You want to wash something away. So it was a symbolic act of saying, I'm no longer a Gentile, but I'm now lining up with the Hebrew faith. What was unusual about John the Baptist is that he's kind of like the lifeguard after pool check. He was like, okay, everybody in the water, right? Everybody should be in. And the Hebrews, this was a crazy concept to them. They were like, wait, we thought only Gentiles needed to be baptized. And John comes along and says, no, we all need baptism because we're all flawed. We're all sinners. Therefore, we all need to go through this act, this symbolism for ourselves of going public with our faith. So you see Jesus as an adult, as our example, wanting to show the relationship that he has with God. Even Jesus goes through the process of baptism. So this is a real easy one for me, right? I mean, if Jesus had to be baptized, I mean, it's an easy one, right, for the rest of us, that it ought to be part of the story, the narrative of our faith and our journey with God. Now, some of you are gonna say, well, now, wait a minute, Dean, if that's how it works, because the pattern of the New Testament is that you get to be old enough where you understand faith, you come to a personal relationship with Christ, what we call salvation, you own that relationship, then you experience baptism. Everybody who was baptized in the New Testament, every single one was baptized post-salvation by immersion, by being dunked or plunged under the water. So now for some of you, that's gonna bring up a question. You're gonna say back to me, well, now, wait a minute, Dean, I was baptized whenever I was an infant. There are a lot of churches in the Midwest and really around the world that practice infant baptism. So what does that mean? What does that mean for me? Well, we would say that when your parents baptized you as an infant, they did that in hopes that someday you'd grow up, you'd come to that salvation moment in your life, you would take personal ownership of your faith by turning away from your sins, admitting your flaws, and applying the death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection to your life. That's what they were hoping for, dreaming for, praying for whenever you were baptized as an infant. So that brings you to today, the 25th of September on the calendar, that today could be the day where you go public with your faith through what the New Testament practices as believers' baptism. So what could happen today would be really the culmination of everything your parents were hoping and praying for you whenever you were baptized as an infant. Now today, that kind of closed that chapter as you own your faith and you take that step of believer's baptism. That's one reason that baptism is it's a public announcement of a personal decision. The second reason is that baptism is a picture of salvation. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 6. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So baptism is a picture. It's like an 8x10 of Christianity. Paul says, just like Jesus when he was on the cross, he was, if I could say it this way, baptized into death. He took all of our sins, your sins, my sins, not just sin in general, but your personal sins and my sins. He was plunged into death on the cross, but on the third day, God resurrected him, raised him to walk in a new, different kind of life. And that's what gives you and I the confidence that we have power over death and hell and the grave. So whenever someone is baptized, it is symbolic. It's a testimony of the gospel. It's a picture of the old person going down into the water and a new creation, a different kind of person coming up out of the water. Baptism is not your salvation, but it is a picture of your salvation. It is a picture, a way for you to show that there is a difference, that there has been some life change that has gone on in you. I'll give you an example of life change. So I got this letter, 4 or 5 weeks ago. And so sometimes I get letters, and when letters are anonymous, I get a little nervous. And this was an anonymous one. And when it's handwritten, 3 pages, by the way. And when it starts off, "Dear Dean Fulks," I get real nervous, right? I get real nervous about these letters, but this is a great one. This comes from a really, really young girl who's come to our church. I don't know who, but a really young girl who's come to our church. And on one Sunday in the summer, right at the end of the summer months, she came here into what she calls big church. I like that. She calls it big church. So she came into big church with her family and her sister. And here's what she says. To be completely honest, I don't remember what the service was about, which is code for your sermon was really boring that day and I have no recollection of what you said. To be completely honest, I don't fully remember what the service was about, mainly because all I could think of was the Bible verse at the beginning. And then she writes out the Bible verse. "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you." Psalm 32:9. So when I heard that verse, that's when everything changed. It was the weirdest thing. At once I realized that I had been believing wrong. I was believing in God with my head, but not my heart. Every night I would think about Jesus and the amazing things he did. I was in awe of his greatness. He was so perfect, so powerful. Then I doubted that anything could be that wonderful. And I would pray each night that the Lord would perform a miracle for me so that I could fully believe he was real, that I could see with my eyes his beauty and his power and yet merciful ways, so that I wouldn't have to live in doubt. But that day in the auditorium, I realized that I was the horse. I was being slowly led away. I was groping at the bit, needing a miracle a day, needing to see mountains being moved or waterfalls flowing upward or something like that. I thought faith was seeing to believe, but it's not. That day, something filled my heart and my soul was lifted up. It was a feeling of joy and knowledge that he really is with me. And that feeling is still there. So every night now, instead of praying that he would prove himself, I pray that I will. I'm gonna read that last line to you again. And every night, instead of praying that he would prove himself, I pray that I will. I now realize that the Lord was there with me the whole time, and I was the one who refused to come to him and to believe wholeheartedly. I was so wrapped up in thinking that I was a perfect Christian, but I wasn't. And I'm still not. I'm just a girl. I'm human. And I can't be perfect like Jesus was. All I can do is pray and answer when God commands something of me. And I'm okay with that. So let me ask you a question. Everybody in the room, you have a certain level of obedience today when it comes to your relationship with God. Are you okay with it? See, I think a lot of us come in here on a Sunday or a weekend, or we come to a service and we're running so fast and we're running so hard that we don't ever take the time to stop and reflect. Your obedience right now in your relationship with God, are you okay with it? See, I think a lot of us are saying to God, prove yourself, prove yourself, prove yourself. And what this young gal learned and has now taught all of us is that God has spoken in the scriptures. And God says to us, no, you prove yourself. You follow what I've already said. So today, like I said, we've got a group of folks who are gonna be baptized here in a couple of minutes. But for a lot of you, I would guess that baptism, believer's baptism that you need to experience after you've become a Christian, not your salvation, but a picture of salvation, that public announcement, right, of a personal decision that's gone on in you is a step that you need to take. And I want you to take it today. And you'd say back to me, yeah, Dean, I mean, that sounds great and all, but I didn't come ready today. I didn't bring like stuff with me. You are in luck. It is your lucky day. Because out in the lobby, we have got brand new t-shirts, brand new line shorts for you. We've got undergarments of all shapes and sizes. We've got combs and we've got brushes and we've got scrunchies. We've got a makeup remover for you. We've even set up private tents out there for you to change your clothes in, get changed. We've got towels. We've got everything you need to be baptized right now, today, to show a picture of the gospel, what has happened in you. You say, well, you know, Dean, I've always thought that if I was ever gonna take that step of being baptized, I'd kind of want, you know, maybe a friend or a family member or somebody to be able to see it. You are in luck. Today's service is being streamed on the internet, right? You can text somebody real fast, family member, friend, say, hey, log on in about 15 minutes. I'm gonna go public with my faith, my decision that I've personally followed Christ. Some of you say, well, Dean, gosh, I don't know. If I were to walk out in the lobby, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. You're in luck. We're gonna have a whole group of people out there that have yellow lanyards on when the moment's right, and you just go to the guest central table and they're gonna walk you through the whole process. Everything you need to do, make it nice and smooth for you. Some of you would say today, maybe you're a parent, and you would say, you know what, Dean, I've always thought about though, if I was gonna be baptized, I would wanna do it whenever my kids could be baptized with me. Yeah, let's be honest with you and say that maybe if you obey God and do what God tells you to do today, that'll be a good example for your kids to follow and for them to obey. Listen, you don't want your kids to delay obedience, right? Like if there's a truck coming down the street and your child's in the middle of the street and you say move, you mean move now, right? You mean listen to mom and dad, do the right thing now. You don't want them to wait. So why is it whenever God clearly reveals himself in his word, that this is a step that we need to take because it seals our faith up in us. It gives us more confidence. It encourages other people. It tells the story of the gospel. Why do we think then that we could or should delay? It was great in the first service this morning, the 9:30 service that we already had. The first two people who were baptized today, Rick and Nancy, They told me right before the service, they said, you know, Dean, we came here 3 years ago. And if you would have told us 3 years ago that we needed to be baptized because we were baptized whenever we were infants, we would have told you, you were nuts. We would never do that. And they said, yet here we are today, ready to obey. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a young person. It doesn't matter, high school student, college student, sitting right over here by this pole in the first service when the moment came and I said, listen, now's the time for you. Get up, go out into the lobby. Two girls, I'm gonna guess, late teens, early 20-somethings. I saw them, they made eye contact. They looked at each other just like that. Stood up and out they went. Single parents get baptized in the first service. We had folks who were older, folks who were younger, because any and all of us have the opportunity today to follow God and do what God has asked us to do. So let me ask you, are you asking God to prove himself to you? Or are you willing to prove that God's way and God's will and God's word is best? You got no excuses. All the excuses are off the table. Today is a great day for obedience. So here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna get ready to do our first round of baptisms. And then we're gonna sing some. So it's gonna give you plenty of time. So as soon as I'm done praying, as soon as I say amen, you can just stand up, head right on out into the lobby to Guest Central out there. Somebody will meet you, and they'll start walking you through the process to be baptized later on in our service, okay? Let's pray together. Father, thank you, we love you. We love your work in our lives and our hearts and in other people's lives and hearts. And God, maybe today there's somebody who's here who's not yet a Christian and they've been thinking about taking that decision. God, I pray that they'll just stand up, head out into the lobby, somebody will help them take that step and then they can take the step of going public with their faith. God, we are so blessed in that you left heaven, came to earth, publicly died, publicly suffered, was publicly humiliated for us. God, it is a privilege for us to go public with our faith, our belief that you are who you said you are, and that everything, Lord, that you say you've done for us applies to all of us. So Lord, I pray that we'll be the kind of church who hears your word and that we obey it. It's in your name we pray.